precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. ...15% of Security Council resolutions against Israel. Of a total of 54 resolutions passed by the United Nations Security Council during the period of January to October 2002, 8 or 15% of the resolutions included demands made against Israel. The United Nations, that is a joke. It's a joke because they're not united, at least for what they should be for. They are united in one thing. They're united against Israel. There are exceptions, of course. The United States historically and consistently votes on their behalf. England and Canada, some of the countries do, not entirely, but sometimes. But the majority of the countries in the UN are always voting about something to do with Israel. Seems like Israel's become the scapegoat for the nations of the world. Don't they have anything better to do? Well, these are just the signs of the times, folks. Just the signs of the times where God says that he's going to gather all the nations against Jerusalem one day, and they, thinking they're going to take it over, God's going to tread them under his feet under the fierce anger of the winepress of Almighty God. You talk about the single most aggravated organization in the world that's would fit the bill of helping to bring about a one-world government, that's UN, that's right. And they're aggravating anything that's against them. They're going to aggravate it. They're going to be against it. They're going to usurp it. They're going to take it over. And I've reported on this a number of times as the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. UN report supports terrorism against Israel. An upcoming United Nations report on Palestinian human rights that blames continued suicide attacks on Israel's response to terrorism is coming under fire by the Israeli Foreign Ministry for its misrepresentation of international law. The report, written after a five-day fact-finding mission by the UN special reporter on the occupied Palestinian territories, the South African law professor, John Dugard, was slated to be presented to the UN General Assembly. According to an advance unedited copy of the report posted on the website of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Palestinian human rights have been sacrificed to Israeli security. This, in turn, produces a greater threat to Israeli security. The hopelessness of despair, which leads to the suicide bombings and other acts of violence against Israelis, they said on this report. Among the issues that the Foreign Ministry legal advisor, Alan Baker, plans to press is Dugard's justification of terrorism. He's justifying terrorism by saying that the causes of terrorist acts are violations of human rights by Israel. There is no justification for acts of terrorism, no matter what the cause may be, said Baker. That's right. By justifying the use of terror, he's encouraging the Palestinians to use terror. The six-page report refers to Jewish communities in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza as alien settler. What a joke. Communities and IDF soldiers manning checkpoints as, he says, UN report, a group of young soldiers with the arrogance of being adults and its immediate aftermath in dusty uniforms with ominous rifles over their shoulders, entrusted with arbitrary power over the movement of the people of Palestine. A paragraph on the soldiers' conduct concludes with the following sentence. The report said, "The arrogance of the occupier and the humiliation of the occupied." Unquote. While statistics on the effects of the military closures and checkpoints of Palestinian poverty levels, homelessness, and children, and the numbers of Palestinians in administrative detention are noted, information on terrorist attacks on Israel and the numbers of terrorist attacks averted as a result of Israel's action are not included. Dugard's UN report also appeared to contradict 170-page Human Rights Watch report released, saying that the report erased in a moment suicide bombing attacks against Israeli civilians, classifies suicide bombings as crimes against humanity, and demands that Palestinian leaders be held accountable under international law for sponsoring attacks, failing to halt them or failing to punish the perpetrators. The report found that Palestinian Authority Chairman Yasser Arafat and the PLO, bear a high degree of political responsibility for the atrocities that occurred, but that their failure to prevent attacks doesn't constitute a crime against humanity because they don't meet the international law criteria of command responsibility. Unbelievable. But at least the report, 170-page Human Rights Watch report, is finally coming to realization that terrorism is a crime against humanity. But you would have never known it. It would have never been noticed by the UN report. Well, this is all part of this anti-Semitic hatred against God's chosen people, Israel. Hezbollah uses Canada as base. The terrorist group Hezbollah has been using Canada as an offshore base for raising money and purchasing supplies needed to carry out and videotape attacks against Israel. Documents obtained by the National Post show the Canadian Security Intelligence Service documents detail how Hezbollah has laundered tens of thousands of dollars through Canadian banks while drawing on the accounts to shop for military equipment. Hezbollah agents shopped for blasting devices, night vision goggles, powerful computers, and camera equipment used to record attacks against Israeli forces, according to dozens of the CSIS wiretapes. The Canadian operation was so successful that CSIS agents overheard suspected Hezbollah operatives in Vancouver in early 1999 congratulating each other in a monitored telephone conversation. Although defended recently as a political movement by Jean, the Prime Minister, and Bill Graham, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hezbollah has been running secret operations in Canada for more than a decade. Mr. Jean declined to condemn Hezbollah after he attended an event at the Francophone Summit in Beirut 2 weeks ago that was also attended by the group's leader. File 2. The Baghdad Ramallah Connection, the London Times cites a dossier distributed to Prime Minister Tony Blair and his cabinet members indicating that Saddam plans to use Palestinian terrorists as his proxy force against Israel and the U.S. Documents related to Saddam's weapons of mass destruction were hidden in the PLO embassy in Baghdad, a building personally owned by Yasser Arafat. CBS's 60 Minutes reports that the Palestinian terror operatives underwent training at an elite Iraqi base in June 2002. During the IDF's raid of Arafat Ramallah's compound in April 2002, troops discovered Iraqi modified weapons. The Palestinian Badr Brigade, which participated in a 1990 Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, provided 3,000 troops to the PLO police in 1994. Who do they think they are fooling? It is well known that Iraq has sponsored terrorism all throughout the world. They have been the ones behind the bin Laden scheme. They're only using these men, Arafat, bin Laden, as pawns to accomplish their revenge against the West, United States, and any other country that loves Israel or is willing to stand up for the rights of this nation called Israel. Now, regarding our file on moral issues, Planned Parenthood clergy advisor says Jesus was pro-abortion. Jeff Johnson, Congregational Bureau Chief. CNSNews.com, in a letter to Bill O'Reilly, host of the O'Reilly Factor on the Fox News Network, Mark Bigelow, so-called Reverend, a clergy advisor for Planned Parenthood, wrote the following. Even as a minister, I'm careful what I presume Jesus would do if he were alive today. But one thing I know from the Bible is that Jesus was not against women having a choice in continuing a pregnancy, he said. Jesus was for peace on earth, justice on earth, compassion on earth, mercy on earth, and choice on earth, Bigelow added. That's enough to make me want to throw up. The national director of Stop International, characterized Bigelow's comments as blasphemous. Yeah, he's right about that. I defy either Planned Parenthood President Gloria Felt or her clergy advisory board member, Mark Bigelow, to cite chapter and verse to support Bigelow's perverse claim that the Bible indicates that Jesus was not against women having a choice in continuing a pregnancy. Planned Parenthood has publicly indicated its religion is choice and its sacrament is abortion. Obviously, the clergy fellow for the plan for how they should have children or not have children is not even qualified to represent the Bible, because if he was a Bible believer, he would know that the Bible has a lot to say about the sanctity of life. But Planned Parenthood obviously has chosen a ultra-liberal modernistic minister of an unknown gospel. But the Bible clearly tells us and shows us the truth that abortion is evil, wicked, murder, and is condemned as immoral, sinful, a transgression against the commandments of God. First of all, in the Holy Scriptures in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible simply says, "Thou shalt not kill." Well, what do you think you're doing when you abort a baby in the womb? You are killing life. In Judges chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything, and eat not any unclean thing. That goes to show you that as far as God was concerned, that was a baby in there, in her womb, and that's why smoking, taking drugs, drinking, all of that is absolutely obnoxious because of its effect upon the baby. Verse 5, the Bible says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." What about that? God is already sanctifying this baby before he's ever born. "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Verse 7, the Bible says, "But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." It's very clear that this son, this baby boy, was to begin his life from the womb, not just when he was born, but before he was actually born, when he was conceived. He already had an ordained plan of God. Well, guess who the son was? Well, it was Samson. That's right, Samson. And we know that Samson was a judge in Israel. Now, in Job chapter 31:15, the Bible said, "Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb. So, this description of a fetus being in the womb is an insult to God. This is a creation of God. This is a human being that is fashioned in the womb. Psalms 22, verse 10, David, by inspiration of God, said, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Obviously, David believed that there was a relationship with God and himself in his mother's belly. And although he perhaps did not quite understand it all, he obviously understood from the Word of God that that baby in the womb has a God that's looking after it. Psalm 71, verse 6, the Bible says, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Again, an indication that God is intricately involved in molding and fashioning and keeping things the way it needs to be kept while a baby is being developed in the womb of his mother or her mother. Psalms 139, verse 13, the Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Yeah, that's right in the belly of his mother. And thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So obviously God keeps a record of even the bones. He keeps a record of all the members of the body in the womb of the mother. Surely God considers that to be a human being inside there, and nobody has a right to abort it, kill it. Nobody. It is a human life, and for you to abort a baby is murder. I didn't say it. God teaches it. Isaiah 44:2, thus saith the Lord, that made me thee and formed thee from the womb. Again, indication of God's molding that baby while he's in the womb. Ecclesiastes 11:5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It's still a mystery to people how conception is actually done. I mean, they think they have it figured out, but it's a miracle of God. The whole thing, conception, is a miracle. And that miracle, outside of God's institution of conception, outside of that miracle, it cannot be reproduced. And I know they're messing around with God's own creative act and trying to take control of it with artificial this and artificial that. But in the process of them doing that, they have to kill parts of others in order to succeed. The whole thing is against that which is secret, to be left alone by God himself. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Again, God considers that that baby in the womb has a spirit, is alive, is a human being. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 17, how the Bible, it says, because he slew me, not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. So, the prophet got discouraged, you know, with what was going to happen to Jerusalem, what was happening to Jerusalem, and he wished that he wasn't even born. For that matter, he wished he wasn't even conceived, that God would have killed him. So that indicates right there that he was a human being before he was even born. Using the personal pronoun, me, my. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, God was speaking to Jeremiah the prophet, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So, it's obvious here that God knew Jeremiah before he was born. God had sanctified him, set him apart. God had ordained him before he was even born to be a prophet, not only to the nation of Israel, but to the nations in general. So, when does life really begin? Well, according to the scriptures, it begins at conception. Genesis chapter 35, starting in verse 16 to verses 26, is a good example of life beginning. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrat. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrat, which is Bethlehem. Right there it says Ephrat is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Now, this is what I want you to pay special attention. Notice what he says, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and notice, Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. Notice here what it says in verse 26. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher, these are the sons of Jacob. Notice here now what he says. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padanaram. Now, since I know there's no contradiction in the Bible, let's examine these verses here that I've just read. First of all, Benjamin was born in Bethlehem, according to Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. But according to verse 26, all the sons of Jacob were born in Padanaram. That's right there where the city of Haran is, which today is located in the southern part of Turkey, which is 1,000 miles, approximately 1,000 miles from Bethlehem. or as it was called, Ephrat. So, how could it be that Benjamin could be born in two places? The only explanation is that Jacob considered Benjamin a living person, a human being, someone whose life had begun at conception. Absolutely, absolutely right. He was conceived in Paddan Aram, and as far as Jacob was concerned, he was as good as born there. Although actually, he was brought into this world by the birth, by his birth in Bethlehem. But as far as God and Jacob and the Bible's concerned, he was alive. He was a human being in his conception and all through the pregnancy, by the way. It's amazing. It should not be really too amazing that the Bible has an answer for everything. Lastly, regarding the Bible and its instruction against abortion, Luke chapter 1, verse 41 to 44, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, here it is, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that's an amazing thing. John the Baptist, who was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, here realizes, and not even born yet, realizes that the baby Jesus is in the womb of Mary. And he leaps, the Bible says in verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. John the Baptist was extremely happy and joyous that Jesus was coming into the world. What a blessing indeed. So this proves beyond any doubt that God calls that thing in the womb a babe. It's more than a thing, and it's surely not a fetus. A fetus is a description for an animal. But what was in Elizabeth's womb, what was in Mary's womb, was a babe. A baby. A human being. A life. A creation of God. So when you abort, you are killing a baby. You are guilty of murder. And according to the Bible, since you are guilty of murder, then that is a capital offense. And by the way, it used to be a capital offense, and they would take your life for taking another person's life. But over 30 million babies have been killed in this country, United States of America, and millions more have been killed all around the world. Amazing how they've legitimized murder, all in the name of free choice. You don't have a choice to kill another person. Well, there's another kind of abortion going on in the world, and that is people are guilty of destroying the confidence in God's word by removing God's name in every way possible that they can, and removing every opportunity for people to search after the living God. But the good news is God is greater than them all, and he will woo lost sinners to him. Right now, the Middle East is going through travail, and the world is seeking to abort the nation of Israel. But thanks be to God, this nation will bring forth and will be once again the dominant nation of the world. For this is the will of God, that all nations would follow the example of the nation of Israel. It will come to pass again one day. What we see here today is only the beginning of the true rebirth of the nation of Israel. But one day all Israel shall be saved, and all the Jews around the world will come and live in the land of milk and honey. Now don't turn your dial. More of this incredible information will come your way, but sit tight, put your seatbelts on, and get ready to receive more blessings from God's holy word. I've been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of his eye. Thank you.
showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you stayed with us. Now for the remaining moments of the broadcast, I continue to consider the subject at hand under the title, Who is a Jew? Do you qualify? You say you are a Jew, but are you really? You might be a Jew physically. You might be a descendant of Abraham according to your bloodline. But is that really as important as being a Jew inwardly? That means a circumcision of the heart, spiritually a Jew. And so we continue to examine some of the scriptures regarding the definition of a Jew. Now, a completed Jew is one who is not only physically Jewish, but spiritually Jewish. And by the way, that's me. Hallelujah. I've not only been circumcised in the flesh when I was 8 days old, but I've been circumcised in my heart when I was 17 years old and received Yeshua HaMashiach as my Lord and Savior. That's right, folks. See, God Almighty, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, He circumcised the foreskin of my rebellious heart, my self-righteous heart, my heart who thought that I could get to heaven by being a good person. But even the prophet Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. So you think being a good Jew is going to get you to heaven, you better think again. Your heart needs to be circumcised. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 26. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. What about that? So during the days of Jeremiah the prophet, God equated the physically uncircumcised Egyptians to the spiritually uncircumcised Jews. How serious it is. Now this circumcision of the heart is a supernatural thing, and it could only be accomplished through the operation of God Himself. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 7, the Bible says, "In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations." Verse 9 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel." So, you go to synagogue at the high holy days. You've been circumcised in the flesh when you're 8 days old as a Jew. But in your heart, you're uncircumcised. You don't care about following the dictates of the Word of God in the Tanakh. You're simply following a form of ritualism, formalism. But have you asked, what does God expect of you? Do you have a personal relationship with God? I mean, do you know Him? I mean, do you really know Him personally, intimately? If you don't, you've never been circumcised in your heart. And the only way you can be circumcised in your heart is you have to be born again. That's right, born again. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, in the New Covenant, the Bible says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." This is what Stephen the martyr said, and how true he was about that. Even the prophets of old in the Tanakh, Old Testament, had declared the same thing, for I've just read it to you. And yet you're going to say the New Testament is anti-Semitic. That's hogwash. I mean, that's ridiculous. New Testament is more pro-Israel than any other book in the world outside of Tanakh. But you cannot escape God's chastening hand upon the children of Israel. God wants them to return back to him with circumcised hearts. Romans 4:12 in the New Covenant says, "And the Father circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." So it's amazing that even though Abraham wasn't circumcised yet, he was still considered what would be considered a Jew today. You know why? His heart was circumcised, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He being the first Hebrew, technically, today would be considered the first Jew. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in the New Covenant, New Testament, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, it's more important to be a Jew inwardly. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23 says that, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." This is a Jew who has the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord of God written in his heart. Romans chapter 2, verse 17, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the Lord, and maketh thy boast of God." Verse 28, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Romans chapter 3, verse 1, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision?" Well, the only advantage that the Jew can have is that he is God's chosen person, God-ordained person, in order to receive the promises that he made to Israel. But spiritually, he needs to be spiritually saved and made righteous in the eyes of God. He needs to have circumcision of the heart. Simply being circumcised in the flesh don't give you a ticket to heaven. Just because I was born a Jew, my grandmother always said, "You're born a Jew, you're going to die a Jew." Well, that's true. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go to heaven. I need to get right with God. I need to be born again. I need to have a spiritual relationship with God. I need to know him, and he needs to know me, and he needs to call me by name. Romans chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." It's not true what the rabbis are saying. There's one way for the Jew and one way for the Gentile. No, we all need to get saved the same way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's the true Messiah said that 2,000 years ago. You got to go through him and through him alone. Otherwise, you cannot be saved from the judgment to come. That's right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, the Bible says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Lastly, this circumcision of the flesh is spoken about by the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 19. He said it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's come already that it's happening. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. That's what's going to happen to the Jews when they receive the Messiah again. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Once again repeated in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Well, do you want to have that new spirit? Do you want to have that new heart? You can, but you're going to have to be born again by the Spirit of God through the shed blood of the Messiah, who shed his blood 2,000 years ago according to the prophets and the scriptures. He fulfilled every one of those prophecies. Will you receive him before it's too late, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile? You can be circumcised in the heart.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.